days while I was driving, did a lot of that. Sam, why don't you come up here? Maybe you and Grant can split this and this out. And I'll try to tell some stories tonight without mentioning names, since we are recording this and it does get put up on the internet now. And so I try and do better about not mentioning details when I tell stories. And I didn't reprove anybody on record. I did, but we don't have a recording of it. I was laughing because Mrs. that lady back there looked at me like, and I thought she should be reproving me. You know, I mean, she's old enough to be my mother. So anyway, Proverbs. I'm digging it like Bob says. You just keep digging a bigger hole. You really should just shut up. Anyhow, Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 16, Proverbs 10 and verse 16, the labor, and don't worry if you don't get this in time as I get started, this will be pertinent later, but the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin, Proverbs 10, 16. And then Proverbs 10, 22, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I don't think that means that we never have sorrow. We obviously have sorrow. But remember how God thinks compared to us. We think in present tense and this life only. God looks at the beginning and the end all at the same time. And the big picture is there's really no sorrow. You and I assume most everyone here is saved. You and I have only enjoyed a very tiny, tiny fragment of our eternal life. And do you understand that? And so all the pains and frustrations that and whatever and heartaches, it's really just a sliver of what your whole eternal life is. You know what I'm saying? And there's really, so it's like a drop in a bucket. I mean, when we get to heaven, like the song says, it will be worth it all. And we'll look back and we'll think of those trials, and they seem so small. At the time, they're huge, but they will seem small down the road. And I want to now look at chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. It's deceitful to themselves. They work hard and they've got nothing. As the Bible says, they put it in bags with holes. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Now, it does not say instantly. It does not say instantly. But there is reward. And I'm a little bit random here tonight. I've just got a lot of verses I want to show you. I don't have a real good outline. But I just want to try to convey a thought to you tonight, and that is this, is that God uses us and wants to use us and wants us to sow righteousness. Wants us to sow well, to sow good seed and to be a godly influence. The Bible says in Psalm 1, you don't need to turn there right now, but blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, there's some people in here that know a little bit about trees. How long do trees live? You can't answer that question. That's an unanswerable question, because there's trees that have been around as long as any human history has been around somewhere on planet Earth. Now, they don't live as well up here as they do in other parts of the world, but a tree in the right conditions just keeps on living. Isn't that true? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And how much influence does a tree have? Does a tree just grow and that's it? Who, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, does a tree just grow or does a tree reproduce itself? A tree reproduces itself. And a tree turns into a forest. And I don't know how many trees were in the beginning, but all the trees on planet Earth today are results of what started in the beginning with the original creation. And you and I have the opportunity as Christians to be that kind of blessed person, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We're just a blessing, not just to the people around us in our present life, but, and I'll say this, I live on a piece of property that's about 40 years old in development, and I am blessed. Have anybody noticed the huge twin spruces we have in our front yard? They're just some of those beautiful trees in town. I don't even know who planted them, but that person is a blessing to me. All right? And because, especially around here, you plant a tree, you're usually not going to live long enough to really, really enjoy it, right? But a tree keeps on, and what I'm trying to say is we can be like that. Did you know we can be like that? I was thinking about people. I handed you something that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about except for one thing. Here's what I gave you. I gave you a copy of this card right here. It's a laminated card. And I was driving yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, God, I just thank you for this truck. I mean, it's just a truck, all right? It's 17 years old, but that's pretty new for me, all right? If you're visiting, I upgraded, all right, to a 17-year-old truck. And I was just, Lord, this is a blessing, you know, and this thing, I like it, and it's not wobbling, it's not making funny noises. And I grabbed the sun visor, and I pulled it down, and this card was on the sun visor. In the back, there's about a half-inch thick file of a bunch of receipts of everything that person did to that truck. Now, I never met the person because somebody else bought it a month ago and for unusual circumstances couldn't hang on to it, and that, I ended up with it. But the old couple that owned it, whoever, stuck that up there. If I can find in that file folder of receipts, I haven't had a chance to look, if I can find their name and address, I'm going to write them and say, thank you for taking care of your truck. I just want you to know that now another Christian is driving it. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? We can be a blessing to someone we don't even know. Do you understand? You can be, your life, and by the way, our nation was built by Christians just like that. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and the pioneers, I mean, they plowed ahead for us. It's the same way with this church. There's some of us are in heaven. They're not dead, but they're in heaven. And they're looking over the balcony saying, wow, that hard work and that stuff we did and that way we gave and that way we held it together when they didn't even have a pastor, and look at what's going on down there. And I was thinking about how we sometimes just focus on today and the present world, and we don't see the big picture. Hey, I'm blessed that a Christian took care of a truck. That's really temporal, isn't it? I'm blessed. A long time ago, some people that are no longer meeting with us, but one day we'll meet them again. But I'm blessed that they kept things going around here. I stayed the night with some old family friends. And I'm not going to say their names, but I spent the night and then ate breakfast with them this morning, and we were talking for just a little bit. Could have talked for a long time, but I had to get going. But we just talked and we visited. And this couple, he's been a pastor several times. He's never been in a big church, I don't think. And in some cases, he's been in some real weird situations. He was in a tough place in Wyoming. And I'd say just about every town in Wyoming is pretty tough. But he was in a tough town in Wyoming, and yet, when I was just 18 years old, I bought my Webster's 1828 dictionary from him, $25. They're more than twice that now, And then he went to different places. I'm not going to give all the details. I'm going to kind of keep this anonymous. But he ended up in California, and he was asked to be like an assistant pastor out there. And make a long story short, the pastor out in California was taking money and using it for other things, and even committing adultery with different women, plural, in the church. And he had to, of course, he was there when the whole thing fell apart, and he didn't know anything about it until it happened, and then he had to try to hold things together. And we were just talking about some of the crazy, crazy things that he and his wife have seen. But they remain faithful. And now, in Colorado, and I won't say where, but somewhere in Colorado, not where they live, but in a different area, different town, they would drive to that town and go to church. And it was a large church, and it was doing very well. In fact, the church itself was giving about $250,000 a year to missions. I mean, that maybe 300 people, and just, it was doing well, and they were, but crazy thing. Through some random weird way, somebody realized that only half of the missions money was going to the missionaries, and the other half ended up, they realized, the pastor was keeping. And again, there my friend was, and by the way, he's now about 80 years old. But about 5 years ago, this happened, and he was there, and he helped the church to work through this. And of course, there was a lot of hurt, and they, the pastor moved on. And by the way, let me just stop and say this: that scoundrel's still pastoring somewhere. All right. It's a shame, but stuff like this goes on. But they were able to make things right. God worked it out behind the scenes, and my friend was able to act like an intern. And then there was a younger pastor man that was supposed to be, just was hired to be like a youth pastor. And then this happens. And my friend, I'll just call him John. My friend John, he brought this young man along, and then he realized, this young man is going to be the next pastor, I can just tell. And so he started letting him preach, and they take turns preaching, and he groomed him and showed him. He said, here's what should have been set up in the church. This would have been a protection. This would have been a safety valve. The pastor and his wife should have never been handling all the money. And he just started setting all that up. And I'm sitting there, where I'm eating my breakfast, and I said, you knew how to do all that because back in California, you went through all that. And then I realized that hard stuff that that couple had go through was so that they'd understand how to help this church get this stuff fixed. And so they were able to get some things put back together. The church is doing well. They wrote all those missionaries and they said, we're sorry to tell you, but you've only been getting half of your money. And here's another sad commentary. The missionary, most of them didn't even know it. Because a lot of churches do that all the time. Not necessarily rob them, but they don't send what they promise them. In the middle of all this, just this last year, a cell phone company, one of the major cell phone companies, called that church and said, we think your property is the perfect place to set up a tower. We will pay you money if you'll let us set up a tower on your property. And the pastor stood up and said, folks, if we do this, then Verizon will pay for all those missionaries getting their money back. And so now, every time they get a check from Verizon, they send it as a repayment to those missionaries. So God is helping them get all that put back together. I'm trying to tell you a long story to tell you this. All things work together for good. And there's some lousy stuff that happens. And there was some lousy stuff that happened to my friend John and Sally, that's not their real name, over the years. And I said, but God did all that to your life, allowed all that to your life so that you'd be there, so that you'd be in place to hold that church together so that they could, and they're thriving. They're going forward. They got rid of the problem. They got things fixed. He was able to help them put things together in a better way so that this wouldn't happen again. They brought in lawyers to make sure everything was legal. And now they're going forward, and God be praised. Amen? And yet my friend John and Sally are never going to get any credit for that. You know what I'm saying? In fact, when it was all said and done, my friend John said to the young pastor, listen, I can't stay now that I'm turning it over to you. I can't. And the young pastor, oh, you need to stay. No, I think it'd be a conflict. I'm just going to mosey on to a different church and help them. And you say, well, that's terrible. He's never going to get any. He's never going to get any reward for it. Oh, he will. In fact, he already is. He's just blessed. He's thrilled to see what he was able to be used to do to see that put back together. Right now, you might say, well, I think this is pretty lousy. My life's not feeling well. Can I tell you something? Don't be weary in well-doing. The wicked work a deceitful work, but him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Seems like you just give, and yet there's a reason for it. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, more than is necessary, but attendeth to poverty. These people are very giving, my friend John and Sally, now almost in their 80s. Verse 28, he that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A tree just keeps on blossoming. It just keeps on reproducing. If it's healthy, and if a tree stays alive for thousands of years, it just keeps growing stronger, and it's healthy, and it reproduces. And the fruit of a righteous is the tree of life. And my friend John and Sally, their ministry has been behind the scenes. I didn't even tell you all of it. I don't think I know all of it. I know I don't. My truck has a CD player and a cassette player. That's just telling you. It's factory original, you know. It works. My cassette player works. And I said, yeah, it's got a cassette player, because we were talking about Bluetooth. I said, no Bluetooth, but it's got a cassette player. She went and pulled out some old sermons. She said, I got these old cassettes. Why don't you take them? She said, oh, this one's a good one. This one's a good one. Oh, listen to this one. This. So I had a whole handful, and I just stuck them in, and I listened to sermons from guys from a long time ago. And there's one guy I was listening to. He's a preacher. In fact, he's preached at the family camp right across the road here. He's going to be the preacher at this year's family camp. Retired Marine Corps guy, great preacher, great family speaker, good guy. And he was talking, and he kept saying, right, brother. And I'm going to say John. It's not John. Right, brother John. Back when you were discipling me, and I hit rewind and I listened to that again. I realized my 80-year-old friend discipled that guy 30 years ago, and I didn't know that either. Folks, we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't always know what God's doing, and we might not get immediate blessings out of what we're doing right now. I'm talking about some sad stuff that now is starting to make sense to me in their life. But you know, the Bible says, and the Bible's never wrong, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He'll be like a tree. And sometimes trees take a long time before they really start to reproduce. But we influence one another. I want to write these people a letter and just tell them I was encouraged. They blessed me, and I don't even know them. And I know me writing them will bless them. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll all stand there and we'll say, you know, you were a blessing to me. Your truck, even though it's just temporary, that was a blessing to me. I mentioned it Sunday night, but I'm going to mention it again. We were talking to Grandma, who's going to get baptized real soon. And Grandma said, I just don't know if you can baptize me. I'm a fat lady. We said, don't worry about it. She said, I know. She said, I'm just being vain. I think it's a testimony that you'd be willing to get baptized, especially as a grandmother. And she said, well, I was concerned, but then I was sitting there and these two 74-year-old people behind me started talking to me and they said they just got baptized 4 years ago. Amen. You know what? You have no idea the trickle-down effect that you have and encourage other people with your life. You just wonder sometimes, what's going on? Yesterday, I don't know where I was. I was somewhere between the state line of New Mexico and Albuquerque, I think. And I don't remember the name of the place. I pulled off the exit. I needed to go to the bathroom. I thought, well, I'll get some gas. Oh, and there's a car wash. Maybe I should run the thing through the car wash. And so I pulled in and pulled up, and I got out, and I walked up, and I could see people inside. I grabbed the door, and it was locked. So I grabbed the door. It's locked. What's going on here? And they opened the door, and they said, our power's out. I said, well, I need to go to the bathroom, you know. Well, you got a cell phone? Because you're going to need a light to see. Sure. So I walked in, and I used the cell phone, went to the bathroom, came back out, and I pulled out a track, and I handed it to the lady who was doing nothing at the counter. And I said, here, why don't you read this? And I handed it to her, went out. Well, I can't get gas here. Pumps don't work. Drove over to the car wash. I realized the car wash doesn't work either. Nothing worked. The whole block was, the lights didn't work. It was like Puerto Rico. There was no street lights or nothing. So I everybody's just kind of trying to figure out who's next. And I drove out of there and I thought, well, why did I stop here? And God said, because somebody standing at that counter needed that track. That's why you stopped there. In the dark, with nothing to do, that's why you stopped there. Look, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you, don't be weary in well-doing. Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you reap the same day you sow? Have you ever? And hardly. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you will. You sow bad, you're going to reap bad. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friend John and Sally are not perfect. But I'm telling you right now that they're seeing some reaping of sowing to the Spirit. And so then Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. What I'm trying to tell you is that none of us are blessed because of ourselves. All of us in here are blessed in ways we don't realize was a trickle-down effect. I use my truck as an example just to show you that someone I've never met was a blessing to me. Someone I don't even know a name, but I handed a track to, and I'm not saying this happened because I don't know, but imagine in heaven, we all gather around in heaven, and somebody says, yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I was working at a gas station, and the lights went out, and then this stranger out of nowhere just hands me this track. He had to go to the bathroom really bad, and he hands me this track. And I read it, and I got saved. And I'm like, don't you think heaven's going to have those kind of stories? And somebody over here in the corner is going to be like, yeah, I got this letter from this pastor. And he's like all excited because they took care of our old truck. It was a piece of junk to us, but he really liked it. It was a blessing. And that was me, you know. Yeah, I was thinking about quitting this church, but then God used this old guy to keep things together, and we kept going to that church, and that was, see what I'm saying? You keep doing right. But we're all such microwave people. We got to have it now. And if it doesn't feel good now, something's wrong. No, not necessarily. If that attitude is true, then Jesus shouldn't have never died on the cross. Because he didn't feel good for a while. But the Bible says that he looked ahead and saw the fruit of his labor. He could see ahead. He could see the fruit, the seed that would be produced by him going through the suffering. In fact, it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, "For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin." And then it goes in talking about spankings, talking about children getting a spanking from their parents. And in verse 9 it says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." Most parents spank you because I just need you to be quiet and listen. They don't always spank for the most eternal reasons. But it's saying in verse 10, "But God, he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You might have to get some spankings from God and some chastening, and you don't understand why that's happening. But if you'll let it and submit to it and do what God would have you to do, it will yield fruit. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." He said, "I purge on purpose. I prune the branches so that you'll produce more fruit." And all of us have to go through pruning. We all have to. We sang it tonight. "Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, through pruning, more fruit I will bear." And we get so in love with our branches, we can't see what God wants to do, and he's trying to prune us, and we start thinking, "But it's supposed to be my little kingdom." I can imagine John and Sally. "God, why did you... We moved all the way to California, and this happened. We were in Wyoming, and we gave ourselves into the town in Wyoming, and you crushed us there, it seemed like. Or you allowed us to be crushed. And this happened, and this happened." And I was talking to two people who are now in their late 70s or 80s, and they're saying, "Now I can see why God was doing that. I couldn't see it, but I can see it now." And they're just happy as they tell how God was able to use them and their experiences to keep a really good church going when Satan was trying to destroy it. Jesus said in John chapter 4, and I want you to turn there and look at it, John chapter 4. I got no real points other than one main one. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Jesus said to his disciples after he talked to the woman at the well, he said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest." About right now, about this time, about this time of the year. Don't think that fall is when harvest comes. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." He's talking about the people. He's talking about people. He said, "Don't you understand?" They're so amazed that he would even have anything to do with this Samaritan woman. He says, "Don't you realize the harvest that's out there that needs to be reaped?" Verse 36, this is what you got to listen to. He says to his disciples, "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." Now, I'm going to say something about, and I don't know where our visitors are from, and I don't know if they've seen this where they're from, but here's what usually goes on in our world today, in churches too. We usually make such a big deal about the reaping and numbers. And, "Wow, this many people got saved. Oh my, wow. Oh, you must be just a great, great soul winner." And maybe they are. However, did you know that winning souls isn't just the actual conversation with the person? You know that sometimes winning souls started years before? Hey, I didn't tell you this part of the story, but let's just say this. Let's just say that that girl standing at the gas station in the dark, getting a tract and reading it, had already been prayed for and talked to her by her grandmother or her neighbor for years. See what I'm saying? And with that in mind, let me now read the rest of this. Jesus says that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Oh, no, wait a minute. The sower is different than the reaper. He's saying there's not, the sower and the reaper aren't the same people. And then he says in verse 38, he that one soweth another reapeth, verse 38, and I sent you to reap wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You've heard me tell this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I first went to Star Academy, first time we were there, I met this girl, Cassandra. And Cassandra was from T, South Dakota. And Cassandra got saved after my sermon. I preached, and after I preached, she raised her hand and said, I want to get saved. She got saved. And I walked into there thinking, boy, I'm so scared. I don't know. I've never done this before. And I walked out thinking, man, I am an amazing preacher. So then I went back and visited Cassandra the next week because she wanted to get baptized. And I said, Cassandra, so tell me, what part of the sermon really got you? I mean, was it the whole sermon or was it just part of my sermon that really just moved you? And Cassandra said, I remember a thing you said, man. But my friend Andy back home, he's in his 50s. He's my next door neighbor. He taught me how to ride my horse and stuff. Man, that guy Andy, he has been talking to me about the gospel for years. And then when you preached it, it finally clicked. And the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, you're just the reaper. You weren't the sower. You didn't do all that. Andy did a lot of that. Listen, when we get to heaven, Andy and I are going to talk about stuff, and I got a feeling Andy's going to get a bigger reward than I'm going to get. He's doing all the work. I just showed up when the reaping happened. Do you understand? Jesus is saying the reaper and the sower are going to rejoice together in heaven because they gathered fruit unto life eternal. And you and I, we want it all. We want to sow today and go back out and say, "Woo, we reaped." And it doesn't work that way, does it? And because it doesn't work that way, we quit sowing. And we quit. We give up. And I was sitting this morning with John and Sally, and I was realizing, I've been doing a lot of sowing over the years. Behind the scenes, I never really thought much about them, and I didn't know much about them. I always liked them, but I got a feeling there's just a lot of people like that patiently are sowing, and now God's starting to do the harvesting. And friend, you and I need to learn to be patient, because we don't live near as long as God's already been around. And he's just saying, you be faithful, don't be weary in well-doing. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then it says this is a promise, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor, if it's in the Lord, it's not in vain. And right now, you and I, when we don't see the harvest and it doesn't seem like anything's going right, Satan sits on our shoulder and says, it's all in vain. No, it's not. You know why? Because God said it's not. And so that leads me to my last passage, and that's Philippians 1. And you have heard me say this before, but Philippians chapter 1 contains my favorite verse. And I want to show you again now and have you think about it. Philippians 1, verse 6, and then verse 11. Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then verse 11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I don't know a whole lot, but I have been a Christian long enough to tell you this, that the fruitful Christians don't see harvest right away. Sometimes it takes decades. But when you are confident that what he has started, he will finish. And that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it will change your attitude about how fast the reaping should happen. And why isn't there a harvest right away? And how come I didn't get to see it this year? And what's going on? It seems like it's all falling apart. It's not. And if God's allowing it, he's only allowing it for a reason. If God's purging, it's only because he wants you to bear more fruit later. There's a reason. You got to trust God. You got to know he's still in charge. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God is still in charge. And we will reap what we have sown. I used to think, when I was younger, you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow. I used to think that was very negative. You're going to reap what you sow. And you know what? It is. But only if you sow negative. I never realized that verse was actually a promise. You reap what you sow. And if you sow the good seed, you will reap that. You will. It isn't supposed to be a threat. It's supposed to be a promise. It's supposed to be a positive, not a negative. You will reap what you sow. Don't stop sowing. Don't quit. Be confident. Trust God and understand that if he's got some disappointments and some chastening, it's going to purge, it's going to prune, it's going to make everything. One day, all things will work together for good. And we can trust God and we can find out he's in charge. God is good. Monday, I was kind of hoping I'd see him Friday night. This young man came to our vacation Bible school on Friday. His grandma said, that young man's dad got baptized at your church through the Star Academy. And I thought, wow, that's neat. And so then on the way to the airport on Monday, I told Miss Wilma, I said, I know you got me on this diet, but I want a chocolate bar. She said, you're not supposed to have a chocolate bar. I said, I'll buy you one. Okay. So we turned into the Inferno gas station, that fancy gas station, you know, that Inferno thing. And first time in there, walked in there, and I bought two Magnum double caramel. Magnum. I thought, this will fix it. And it did. I mean, smooth though. She didn't have one more complaint. Grabbed the two Magnum bars out of the freezer. Never been in there before. Turned around, spun around, walked up to the cash register. Guess who's standing in line at the cash register? Dad of boy at our Bible school. We looked at each other. I'm coming to your church next week. Awesome. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Keep trusting the Lord. Just be patient. I mean, who knows? Once in a while he'll even encourage you by just flipping your sun visor down and going, wow, there's other Christians out there. You know? There's people. Some nice Christian man kept this truck nice just so I could drive it when he was done with it. God's good. And some grandma needed these other old geezers back there to encourage her to get baptized. Amen. I mean, you don't know what God's doing. I have no idea why I pulled into a gas station that doesn't even have any electricity. But I think maybe it's because somebody needed a track. I don't know what God's doing. I'm just going to keep following. I'm just going to keep trusting him. And along the way, I'm going to learn my lessons. I'm going to take the chastening and the spanking. I'm going to find out where I need to get purged. And those branches need to be pruned out. I'm going to find out what I could be doing better. I'm going to learn those things. But I'm not going to ever quit because I know that he wants to make me fruitful. He wants to use me. Not in my time, maybe. I might have to look over the balcony and see what's going on back down on earth. But what God starts, he finishes. And we know all things work together for good, and we can trust him. And you know what? Proverbs says the wicked work a deceitful work. You think about some of the wicked people in our world that are working so hard. I keep saying this because every 5 years this is true, so I'll say it again. Hillary wants to be president so bad. I've been saying that for like 20 years. She works so hard. You know, even if she does get to be president, you realize how how deceitful it is for her even. Do you realize that the most likely where she's going for eternity? What a sad life. The wicked work a deceitful work. But you, Christian, you got such an opportunity to sow and to see a true, sure reward. Don't be weary in well-doing. It's so easy to get discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Let's pray. And